dog screaming bare feet at the floor. It's off to the races, everybody out the door. I'm feeling like I'm falling behind. It's a crazy life. 90 miles an hour, going fast as I can, trying to push a little harder, trying to get the upper hand. So much to do in so little time, it's a crazy life. It's ready, set, go, it's another wild day. When the stress is on the rise and my heart I feel you say, just breathe, just breathe, come and rest at my feet and be, just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to just breathe. Of time, but I feel it slip away. I wonder if there's something more to this crazy life. I'm busy, 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 and it's so surprised to see that the only half of time is for me, me, me. There's gotta be something more to this crazy life. I'm hanging on tight to another wild day. When it starts to fall apart in my heart, I hear you say, just breathe. Just breathe, come and rest at my feet and be, just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to take it.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that, because the only true rest that we'll ever get, and moms, I'm speaking to you this morning, moms, mothers of Macedonia, I'm speaking to you because the only true rest you'll ever get will be in the Lord. Go to Him, take a breath. Yeah, dads, I'll tell you all that next month. But that is, it's so true and so important. Just take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. Bernadine, when you get settled in up there, a lot of scripture. That's a problem with pastors writing sermons. They don't know when to stop. All of God's Word. Brother Paolo, all of God's Word is important. I can't put it all in at one time. But I can't find a scripture that's not important, and these all are. And thinking about what's already been said, and moms realizing how hard you work, all that you do. And fathers don't really even know all that you do. Husbands don't. But I was reading about a lady that had a dear friend that she hadn't spoken to in quite a while. And so she called her up and just to check on her and see how she was doing. And the woman answered the phone, and she asked her, she said, "How are you doing today?" And her response was, "Terrible. My head's splitting and my back and legs are killing me. The house is a mess and the kids are simply driving me crazy." Caller said, "Well, let me tell you." She said, "That breaks my heart. I'm going to be right over there. And the first thing I'm going to do is tell you to go and lie down. When I get there, I'm going to fix y'all some lunch, get you something to eat. I'm going to take care of the laundry for you. And then I'll watch the children while you get some rest." And the woman said, "Oh, how wonderful. Thank you so much." And the caller said, "By the way, how is Sam doing?" And all of a sudden she said, "Sam?" And she said, "Yeah, how is Sam doing?" She says, "There's no Sam here. My husband's name's not Sam." And the caller said, "Oh my mistake. I must have called the wrong number." And about that time, the woman just in a gasp said, "Are you still coming?" If you want some relief, you better go to the feet of the Lord, I'll tell you. When you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look with me at one verse, verse 40. Most of you could take and quote it, I know, if not all of you. When you find your place, stand with me as we do reverence to reading God's Word. And then we'll get right into the message. Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Let all things be done decently and in order. Church, not just mothers this morning, that's in and for everything that we do ought to be decently and in order and to the honor and glory of God, or it's not worth doing. Just the facts. But if we do it God's way, joy unspeakable, full of glory, blessings untold, benefits that are heavenly, it's just a fact. But it's got to begin at home. It begins at home. Amen? All right. Brother Lynn, will you take us again to the throne of grace, please, sir? And thank you. May be seated. Mothers, truly, I thank you for all that you do. Your daily sacrifice for your families, for the way that you present yourselves to others, the way that others see you when they come in. I don't know how many times that I've heard said over the years when there was a knock on the door, "Oh, I hope that's not somebody wanting to come in. The house is a mess. I hadn't got a chance to get to that." And not at my house. I just want y'all to know that. And so, but it's a representation of yourself. And so I thank you for all that you do, all that goes really without thanks and gratitude. But yet I know that God smiles on what you do. And I'm grateful for that. And of all these things, I know and I thank you, mothers, that first and foremost, that you understand and realize that being a mother is a miracle of God in itself. Only. God is the only one that can create a life. And this morning, to be a mother, a miracle of God took place in your life once or more times. And that's awesome. That's wonderful. But yet, there is more that can be accomplished. There's more that can be achieved. There's more that God would have of you. And in this day and time, in our nation, as well as around the world, but right here in our nation, in our communities, in our church, there is so much more that needs to be done and can be done. And moms, if anybody can do that, you can. You have the strength. You have that ability. I've said before, my wife doesn't weigh, how much? Well, she doesn't even weigh 90 pounds soaking wet, I don't think. And all of our children, Earl, y'all remember this, wherever we'd go, she'd have two or three of them. She looked like a mama possum with all them youngins just hanging all over her. Or I've been told if she went to Walmart or somewhere to the grocery store, it was her walk. You ever seen that the duck that walks along and got all the ducklings behind? It's what she looked like everywhere she went. I would hold one of our children sitting down, and after a while my arm got tired. I'd try to wake them up so they could get up and go play. Moms, you have a strength that only God could have given you. A physical strength. You've got a mental strength that God has given you, and you have a heart strength that God has given you. I learned a long time ago, men, and I'll just tell you this now, never say to your wife, I know what you're going through. No, you don't. And as I had told me one time, I never will. But here is something that I do know, and Scripture speaks of, that what you are capable of doing and being is a godly mother. You see, being a mother is a miracle in itself, but the pinnacle of motherhood is being a godly mother. And if we ever need that, it's urgent, it's important, it is past time. Look around us at what's happening in this generation. If anybody is going to be able to salvage our children and our grandchildren, mothers, it's you. It is you. The Bible talks so clearly about that. Over these last 30 years, nearly 30 years, I've preached that many Mother's Day messages. But none so timely, none so important, none more necessary than what we're experiencing today. As a matter of fact, the devil, I've said this before, I've preached it, one of Brother Mitchell's favorite messages, about the battle for the mind. God, listen, God has given us this mind. But Satan wants it. And he will fight you tooth and toenail. He wants the control of your mind. And he can have it. I've said it before, he can't have your soul, but he can have your mind. He can coerce you. He can convince you to do things that you ought not do, that you shouldn't do. And that's exactly what we're experiencing today. I thought about it. Look how the attack that's on our children in the entertainment field, the computer, the television programs, our school system, and I could go on and on. I want you to know something this morning. We're losing the battle. I'm sorry, but we're losing the battle. And mothers, you're the key to getting it back. You're the key to get it back. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about this and how God is really, and dads, this does apply to us as well. Hebrews 10:25 admonishes us to guard against this day of what we're seeing. Notice this, he says, Paul says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why is it so urgent today? Because we can see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? The return of the Lord. And before he comes, it's going to be worse and worse. The chaos is going to grow. Yeah, you better be able to see the day is coming, because it is. The scriptures are true. This week, Steve sent me an article. Right now, the plans are being made to build a third temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Do you realize that the next one, whenever it's done, if this one's it or not, if this they go through with it or not, the next one will be the one that the Jewish people will be making oblations back to God, because Satan is going to make a pact with them. And they'll be able to take and sacrifice once again on that holy mount, but that'll only be a 3.5 year of false peace. And then it all breaks loose. Church, that day is approaching. And the Word of God says we can see it. Now is that time. Mothers, now is when we need godly mothers. Listen, I don't want to go back and forth. Dads, you're important. But mothers, you're the ones that your children are going to listen to. They're going to hear you the most. My mother would strike fear in me when she says, wait till your daddy get home. I knew what she was saying, and I feared that, but I learned so much from my mother, as did so many of you this morning. 1 Corinthians again, our text verse, let all things be done decently and in order. How is that done? Brother John, how is it that we reach that pinnacle? How is it that we get to that point of being that godly mother that God would have you to be in order to do what God has enabled and will have you to do that nobody else can do? First of all, it begins with the foundation. Now watch it, mothers. We're going to build very quickly a godly woman in order to take and to raise a godly generation. Godly children, godly homes. And it must begin with salvation. Mothers, unless you're born again through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, convicted and brought forth by the Holy Spirit of God, and today you can claim, I'm a child of God. I have a heavenly Father, and I am His child. That's where it begins. And then on top of that foundation, now you can build something that will stand. Now you can build something that'll mean something. You can build something that's beautiful because, listen, a faithful child of God is beautiful in the eyes of God. As a matter of fact, even the Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, that go out and do the Great Commission. Oh, listen, I want you to know there is something beautiful in and about this. And so what's the first step in order to build these children by being a godly mother? It begins with a godly mother's love. A godly mother's love. First of all, that love has to be a supernatural love. A supernatural love. That means putting God first, preeminent, above everything else. That you're going to say, God, whatever it is that comes into this life, whatever it is that you call me to do, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to love you best. I'm going to love you best. I'm going to love you because you first loved me. Mark 12:30. Remember when Jesus said the two greatest commandments? Remember the first one in Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Yeah, Brother John, but I love my children. Yeah, but if you're going to love them the way they ought to be loved and the best way they can be loved and to train them and teach them what real love is, you better love God first. Because if you don't love Him first, you'll never know how to rightly love your children. It is that important. Now here comes probably the next pastor's pearl that I write on. When God gave me this, I had a fit. Church, if God is not first in our love life, then our love life is flawed. And anything flawed can and will fail. But mamas, I realized this morning that if we cling to 1 John 4:12. Here's what John said, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now watch this. If your love for God is first, and then your love for others is right, your love is perfected. Now tell me how your love could possibly fail. I didn't think I'd hear a word. It cannot fail. How do I know that? Because the Holy Spirit of God indwells us, and He cannot fail. And when our love life is right, we cannot fail. God is so gracious, so awesome to us. I think about that. Mothers, I realize that there is a natural love. That love that's innate in you, that when a child is born, sadly, there are a lot of mothers that don't recognize that, could care less about it. The lives of their children don't mean anything. But that doesn't change the fact that God placed an innateness of love in each and every woman, each and every mother. Years ago, my dad told us about, and I won't mention any names, but he had gone to the courthouse because on that day, a man that he had been trying to help over through the years was going to be sentenced to prison if he was found guilty. And so Dad said that as he was sitting there in the gallery and watching the proceedings go along, finally they came out and they read the verdict. He was guilty. And the judge sentenced him to multiple years in prison. And he was in his 60s. But Dad was sitting right next to his mother. And his mother watched him as her son was being led away. And Daddy said that she looked up with tears running down her face, and she waved bye to her son. To love him that much. I was talking with my wife about that one day, and she taught me something that's embedded now in my soul. I said, what about a circumstance like that? What would that be like for a mother to have to watch that and yet still love them so? And she said this to me. She said, I may not approve of something one of my children do. I may dislike it. I may be disheartened by it. It could even be so bad I'd be disgusted by it. But she said, this one thing I know. There is nothing that could ever cause me to stop loving them. It is not a pious response. It is a factual response. It is a godly response, godly mother. It's a godly response. Why? Because God's love toward us is unconditional. Brother John, are you sure about that? I'm so sure about that. I can't hardly stand it. As a matter of fact, some of the most beautiful verses in Scripture are what brings me that peace that passeth understanding. And we find it in Romans chapter 8. You know where I'm talking about? About the Father's unconditional love for me. Now, He's got it for you too if you want it, but I want it. I need it. Look at what he says, beginning in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, watch this, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whew. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Mothers, that's what that first building stone is of a godly mother. But not only a godly mother's love is a supernatural love, but now watch the play on this. Her love, a godly mother's supernatural love. In other words, her natural love is a supernatural love. I'll show it to you after church. It is that by God's providing, it's there for your application. It is that the second commandment that Jesus quoted is where that applies. As a matter of fact, in Mark 12, the very next verse after 30 is 31, and here's what Jesus said. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, if we're going to love others, apart from your own husband, before you love others, your love better be for your children. Amen. It has got to be. And then once you know how to love God first, you'll love your family next, and then you can love anybody else, because that nature within you has changed. It's no longer the same. It is supernaturally guided and directed if you'll follow the instructions. Amen? That's exactly what he's talking about. This concise definition of loving children, let me read it to you. And it's presented in the Greek, because in Titus 2, verse 4, the Bible says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now that word love in that verse there, in the Greek, I found out that it simply means this. It means the caring for, nurturing, affectionately embracing, meeting their needs, availing yourselves to, and tenderly befriending each one as a unique gift from Almighty God. That's the love that we're to have for our children. Mothers, that's the love and the nurturing that you're to give to your children. It is what really teaches them to grow. But then in Psalm 127, 3 through 5, it tells you why, because of who and whose they are. Remember this, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Every child that you and I have, mother, every child, it's a gift of God. They belong to Him. They're His. That's what's so important. If we're going to take and love the way that we ought to love, we've got to take and love our family. And then we can love others the way that we ought to. 1 John 4:11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We've looked at a godly mother's love. But notice, secondly, a godly mother's lessons. God expects two things in this building step right here. First of all, a mother's lessons begin with the training of the child. Don't take my only amen out of here, Carolyn. There's only one saying anything. But the Bible is very clear about this in training up a child. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That means that they're to be trained up. Trained up to do what? To do what God has prepared them to do. We're not to train them up to be like us, to do what we do. We're to train them up to do what God has designed for them to do. Do you realize what that means? That means God has gifts that He has for that child, and He has a calling, singular, for that child. And mothers, you can nurture that child, and you can draw that out of that child. You can help guide and direct that calling of God by seeing the gifts that are from God. It never ceases to amaze me to know that I've seen parents go. I went into a home one time, and the child had painted on the wall. I guess it was a picture. I was standing there thinking, I'd beat that. But that mother came back, brought me a cup of coffee, and she said, I've got a gifted child. I know that they're going to be an artist one day. I thought, it'll be abstract art if it's anything. But that's the way that they do. Like the story of the little boy that was out there in the yard, and the fellow watched him, and he would throw a ball up in there and swing it, and he would say, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. He'd throw it up. This is 10 times. Every time, I'm the greatest batter in the world. The 10th time, he threw it up and he went, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. I'm the greatest pitcher. There are perceived gifts, but there are godly gifts. What I'm trying to say, moms, a godly mother will recognize a godly gift. And then we can start training. You can start training that child, directing them in the path that God would have them go. How do we know that? Because we'll do so by the Word of God. Here's what's happened. The Word of God must be instilled in that child. Got to be instilled into it. It has to be in order for that child to grasp it. And how it has to be taught. And I got three C's in this. First of all, mothers, it has to be trained. They have to be trained consistently. You've got to be consistent in the way that you train up your child. How confusing. Now, I'm going to get really technical here, and if you want to get mad at me, just see me after church. But how inconsistent are you sometimes? A child who was corrected sternly about doing something, and that child, the next time he decided to do it, was thinking a second time about it, but he went ahead and did it anyway, risking the discipline. And the mother said, I told you don't do that again, but she was too busy to take and use corrective action. The Bible says confusion is not of the Lord. It's not of God. If it's not of God, who is it? It's Satan. How can a child know? How can a child trust to go and to do what he's being trained to do if he doesn't know what to do? Is it right? Is it wrong? You tell a child, don't go into the street. Now, even before that, they're old enough to understand why. You make sure that you discipline that child so that they won't do it just because they don't want to get disciplined again. And then when they get old enough, they'll say, well, Mom sure loved me. I could have been killed out there. My life could have been changed forever. But not if you're consistent, Mom. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 5, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His Word never changes. It's established forever. Nor should ours be if we're teaching them the Word of the Lord, the ways of the Lord. It must be consistent with our training. Secondly, moms, it must be constantly trained in the children. That means that every moment, every opportunity must be a matter of training on purpose. And there's an opportunity for me to take and to really build in my son, in my daughter. And to take that opportunity. Deuteronomy 6, 5 verses 5 through 7. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Look what words are going to be in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Once a day or every once in a while when I think about it, No, y'all are reading it already. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, don't give them any slack time to take and do the devil's deeds. Thank you, brother. I'll pay you after service. But that's what trains a child. That's what trains a child. It was asked of employees at General Motors one time. Don't you get tired of putting the same nut on the same bolt on every car that comes through? And they said, not really, for two reasons. One, I get paid for it. Two, I'm the best at it. That's what it must be. Godly mom for your children. Not only consistently and constantly, but convincingly. 2 Timothy 1:5, Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. The Apostle Paul was just so impressed with the faith of Timothy that he knew that he had to have what he had because of his mother and grandmother had instilled it in his life. Here's what the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Moms, I want you to know, your children, godly moms, your children are going to be admired and revered by others. But now watch this. You're going to be the one that gets the credit. Isn't that what Paul said? Y'all are the ones that gets the credit. Oh, I don't know. I just think that's another diamond in your crown. I'm just saying. Lastly, convincingly, it has to be, because it'll be evident in your children's lives as it was for Timothy. You must train a child, but also you must teach a child. Psalm 78. Brother Steve, do you realize what the word maskil means when it comes up in the Psalms? It is a teaching lesson word. It means that psalm is for teaching and instruction. In Psalm 78, that's what it has, a maskil. And it's the teaching and responsibility of every parent and grandparent that our children and grandchildren know what? God's Word. They must know the Lord. They must know to love the Lord. They must be obedient unto the Lord. Verses 5 and 6 of that chapter, Psalm 78, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Titus 2, verses 1, verses 4 and 5 says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Let me reread that. Obedient to their own husband. Oh, I read that. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Is she looking? Folks, it's so important. So important. Ladies, watch this. That not to teach your children that is blasphemy unto the Lord. You know how it feels to be embarrassed, don't you? Huh? How dare we try to embarrass God when he's given us what it is that he expects and desires from us? How do we be careful to do that? We need to be the same. Ladies, you need to be the same on the inside of the house that you are on the outside of the house. Yeah, dads, I'll get us next month. But you are. You've heard the expression, what you see is what you get. It's what ought to be true. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We don't need to be confusing to our mates, to our children, to our loved ones, to our church family. We need to be who we are and whose we are, without and within. Lastly, not only a godly mother's love, a godly mother's lessons, but a godly mother's life. Your life is a design, and it's to be lived as a design. It's an example of giving to her family, to be a model of integrity, living what you say, knowing that you can be believed by what you say. That's the essence of a godly mother, the Bible says. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy 4:9, the Bible says, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Psalm 37:18 says, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." In other words, you do what God has instructed you to do, and you're going to be blessed forever. You know how long that is? It's a long time. Not only by design, but by definition. A godly mother is a woman who represents the heart of Christ to her children. She's continually aware, and watch this, of the influence that she has over her children. So many times not thought, you don't think about it. "Honey, listen, tell him I'm not here," when the phone rang. That child remember that. Mama lied, I can lie. It's not what we're to do. Mothers, that's not a godly woman. You're going to have influence over their lives and their future, making sacrifices in order to meet the needs of theirs, for their welfare. Too many times we do what we want, what makes us feel better. But that's not what it ought to be. It should be to take in the influence for good. I'll show you just a simple thing that I have noticed over the years. In my family, right now, whenever my wife, if you talk to her on the phone, just watch for it. When y'all get ready to hang up, there is something a little different. Right before she says goodbye, there'll be, bye. Now I challenge you to call my children. And don't talk long, just say, "I just need you to hang up. Bye." Every one of them sounds like her. It's a simple thing, but it's a fact. It's a fact. Mothers have a godly influence over your children. That's what God is honored by. Now here are some of the following characteristics of a godly mother and what builds it. And know this, only godly mothers want their children to be godly. Does that make sense? Well, it's true. It's true. And the only way that it can be is for you to lead the way before them so that they'll know who to follow. When I saw JR's t-shirt and Randy's t-shirt this morning, JR said, "How do you like my t-shirt?" And I said, "Man, if you're following Jesus, I'm following you." Listen, mothers, you need to be leading your children to the Lord, influencing them right. Now, here are the steps and what will happen and what God will do in and for your life. The Bible says that if you'll surrender yourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, here's what's going to happen. First of all, your soul is going to be restored. Psalm 23:3 says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Your life is going to be recreated. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And also, your mind is going to be renewed. Romans 12:2, Steve, one of your favorite verses. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Those are the awesome three things that God can and will do in your life. It would be like getting a fresh start. Listen, a powerful, glorified renewal. That ought to put a spring in your step. That is going to be something you cannot get any other way than God's way. Period. Only way that it can happen. But if you'll choose that, then you can use that for your children in training them up, teaching them to be what they can be. To be all that they can be, to take a slogan. Because only God's Word can do that. Amen. I thought about the woman in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. It's a picture of her being a godly mother. As a matter of fact, in verses 27 to 31, here's what the Word says. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That's what being a godly woman will do for you. But think of all that you can do for your children, for the honor and the glory of God. There's been two women in my life that have more effect on it than anyone else. And that was my mother and the mother of my children. I told myself I wouldn't do this. I'm hoping that in heaven, God will allow me to tell her, thank you. Mother, thank you for your unconditional love for me. Mother, thank you for your never-ending prayers for me. I want her to know that I know that she's the reason that I'm alive today. That I'm doing my best to serve God today. I want her to know the influence that she had in my life. And then for the mother of my children, would y'all allow me the privilege and honor to let me say this to her now? I want to say, I want to say thank you, sweetheart, for first of all saying yes when I asked you to marry me. I want to thank you for staying with me all these years, knowing myself I wouldn't have, but thank you for enduring. I thank you for your willingness to walk through the valley of the shadow of death of motherhood 10 times in our family, And I thank you. I thank you for your unwavering love and sacrifices that you made for our children and for me. For your wisdom, understanding, and unconditional love that you continue to show for us, me and our children. I thank you for your wisdom, understanding, and for the incredible strength that you display in all types of adversity over these many years. And I don't expect you to stop, because that's who you are. I thank you for your living faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and the quiet Christian walk that you have. That's an example for others to follow. And I thank you, most importantly, for being a godly mother. This morning, I just wanted to say, I love you, and happy Mother's Day. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed, and every eye closed. As the musicians are coming, your love I know, I've seen your tears, you've given to me my life. You've walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give to me, you gave up needs and often rest, you viewed eternity. To do His will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall, you held me up in prayer. Through strands of gray may brush, those strands of gray may brush your hair, and miles divide our way. I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You've shown me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me see and be aware that life is so soon past. Despite your love, I would not dare, for there's not another who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. Father, I come to you this morning thanking you, dear God, for our mothers. Father, I know that you love them, Father, infinitely, for you're the one who created them. Father, you're the one that created the lives in them. And to you, sir, be all praise, honor, and glory. And Father, you give only to those that you have enabled to do what you've given them to do, and us. Father, it's just so awesome that, dear God, you enabled that precious woman, that mother, to be a godly mother. Father, for that, I'm so thankful this morning. Perhaps we could even be a little jealous as husbands, but Father, we shouldn't be, because you're so gracious, and after all, we all belong to you that have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So, Father, this morning I ask for a special measure of grace and mercy on our mothers. Father, for those of our mothers here today that already are godly mothers, I praise you. I thank you. I thank you, dear God, for their families, for their children, their grandchildren, their loved ones, great-grandchildren. Father, for those that are not, but desire to be, Father, I know that just as you said this morning, we've seen how a godly mother is designed and defined and built. And Father, you're the chief cornerstone, Lord Jesus, and that's not a problem for you. And Father, joy will then be full. So, Father, I just pray that, dear God, that not only your will and way be done this morning, but, Father, that'll be received by each mother, whosoever will. Now, Father, go with us and be with us in this invitation. Father, that we'll respond to your gentle calling for whatever it is. Father, there may be someone this morning that just needs to be prayed for. And there's someone here today that that needs to be doing that. Father, I thank you for that one. Father, I thank you for the one that Lord, is going through something that just needs to speak with you. Father, I thank you for the one that perhaps doesn't have a church home, that this is where you would have them to be and do what you would have them to do. But Father, most of all, I thank you that if there's someone here today, by your divine direction, Father, that is lost, that needs to be saved. Oh God, I pray, I beseech you that they not leave here today without you, without knowing you to be their personal Savior, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, I know that you'll do your job, sir, that you'll certainly bring that conviction, that you will be the one to take off the blindness, remove it. So, Father, I'm just saying this morning, whatever is our need, my need, our need, Father, we'll allow you to meet that need for your glory, for your honor, and for our good. And for that, Father, we thank you in advance, as it being your will, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, here's the old-fashioned altar. It's open and waiting for you. It's his.